As Jessica prepares to read our scripture for us today, I would invite you into some thoughts about it. Worry can get the best of us, not just stealing our time, but filling our heads and causing illness to our bodies. As we face this new year together, we look to the three kings, Jesus, and some well-known words from Philippians.
Our first reading is from Matthew 6, 25 to 27. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Our second reading is from Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. God of hope, peace, joy, and love, be present with us, we pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. We are in the book of Matthew today, and after Jesus has begun his ministry, we find some of his teachings. Matthew records this section, the calling of the disciples, the Beatitudes, the you are the light of the world, thoughts on behavior and prayer and money and fasting and worry. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus takes time to teach those who have gathered on the will of God. And it's an opportunity for us to hear instruction on discipleship, social and economic practices. Within these teachings is a warning, or dare I say, an invitation. I like that better than warning, don't you? An invitation to not worry, but to fully rely on God. I find it challenging, to say the least, to tell someone who is standing in a pit to not worry about getting out of it. I find it challenging and a bit unnerving to see someone buried in a pile of excrement and tell them as you walk by that they don't stink. And I find it challenging and extremely frustrating to be the one who feels like you're standing in that pit or under that pile, feeling as though your hands and feet are tied, maybe even late for work, and have someone casually walk by and say, "You'll be fine. It'll get better. Don't worry. Trust in God." Even to those who have the deepest trust, the most devoted worship, and the most committed souls, that seems like not the time nor the place to receive such a message. Would you agree? So when is the right time? When can we really process and understand that relying on God is what we are called to do? Jesus thought it was the right time to tell the people that had gathered on that mountain to hear him preach. We have few details on their socioeconomic situation or who exactly chose to gather that day, but what we know is that they came to listen to Jesus. And Jesus invites them to consider an alternate way to live than they had been living. To look at the way that they had been focusing their life, how they had been labeling. To think about their best time and talent and what they'd been doing with it, and consider if there is a better approach. Jesus, who was raised in a Jewish community, draws on his upbringing as well as his divine nature to align people to God. And he preaches. And within that, he tells those who want to know God that they need to practice their faith, they need to love their community, and they need to refocus. We hear that word a lot this time of year, don't we? There's probably a list of, 20 or 30 words that come up January 1st every year, right? And one of them seems to be refocus. Now, for some just coming off of eye surgery, that message might feel very astute, right? Yes. We're glad that you had both eyes done, Cindy. But for others who maybe are feeling January as the mound of debt or the aftermath of disagreements at family gatherings or at holidays, or anyone who turns on the news, a message like refocus can feel a bit flippant. So where's the break? Or rather, where's the gathering that gives us all a sense to what Jesus was offering? How do we do that? I think the answer lies within the scripture. Don't worry. Right? But anxiety and worry, that's that feeling of fear or dread or uneasiness. It's manifested, right, in this worry, and it shows itself by increasing our layers of sweat, right? I was trying to think of a really cute way to say perspiration. There isn't one, right? We start to kind of let it all out, right? Our pores even let it all out, right? And those feelings of anxiety can cause us to not sleep. They can cause us to be restless or tense or respond in ways that aren't life-giving. They can cripple us and our productivity or keep us from thinking about or processing what we need to. There are known disorders of anxiety, and each with its own symptoms and behaviors, some treatable with home remedies and other with medications. But for all of us, we experience some level of worry. For some, the cause is unknown. For others, it's a fear that has been built up. And still more experience a sneak attack and didn't even realize that was bothering them. The actions of others can also bring us into feelings of scarcity or concern and lead us into times of fear. There's like this collective layering that happens, I think. Maybe too much Shrek at my house, but I think about those layers, right, of an onion, right? But we're that way too. And we can handle some things, but as the pile keeps getting thicker, as the layers get more, come over us more, as we begin to feel overwhelmed, we also might be paralyzed and not able to have constructive actions and energy. Some describe it like their feet are stuck. This doesn't just happen in our physical lives, it happens in our spiritual lives as well. Our connections with God can get bogged down or overloaded, right? Think of that tunnel or that tube. I like to think of conduit. Again, that's where I'm at in life, right? But this conduit we have with God, this pipe, if you will. And you can get the big one, right? The PVC, 4 inches, I don't care, whatever you need, right? But that conduit starts out clear and empty. Your connection with God is absolutely open. But all the gunk of life starts to fill it up. And if we're not careful, we don't have an easy access point anymore. We need to call the Roto-Rooter or whoever, right? Whoever can help us to clear away the distractions. Now, I was tempted this morning to offer you each a sheet of paper and say, write down what it is that brings you anxiety or worry today. Right? And then I thought, oh, we don't have enough paper or enough pens. Yeah. And some of those items would be exactly the same on two people's lists, meaning different things, but the words would be the same, right? And yet, other people might write things down that some of us have never even thought about, right? So instead, I will share with you a couple of my anxieties. Scarcity of resources and time. Top two on my list. Oh, right? I know, I feel better for sharing that. Thank you, right? Right? But also, right, other things on that list are relationship and care and health. And that's enough to make my list feel full. I don't share that so that you start to figure out how you can peck away at my list, but so that you recognize that you and I walk probably very similar life cycles right now. There's a lot on our plates. And sometimes that gets in the way of us refocusing on God. The other part of those lists, and I don't know if this happens to you, but I like to compartmentalize things when possible. I love the storage options of a new year, right? Everyone wants to sell you the color-coded drawers, right? Or the folders with all the little inserts, right? People want you to have all the new pieces. And I think, oh, that's beautiful. What if we could do that with our feelings? I'll put all my worry in the purple folder, right? And in the red drawer, we'll just drop off any feelings of unsettledness, right? What if we could do that? And then just open that drawer and just look in it at just the time we need to, when we have time to unpack it and deal with it and process it. Or perhaps even when we have someone to do that with us, right? But unfortunately, our life doesn't work that way. Get the colored drawers if that's your thing, right? Sort all the things you want to sort. That's awesome. But recognize that we can't do that with our feelings. We can't do that with these sense of emotions, these challenges. Instead, like some of us anyway, our reactions and negative energy come out whenever they choose to around those topics. Think of that soda bottle. Oh, you know, that like the 2-liter that's all the way plump full already. And then some tiny human, or yourself, decides to carry it without any worry or concern and really brings it over to you so excited, right? And then it gets opened because we didn't see the reaction of what happened or how that got to you, right? So you just open it up and everything just pours out, right? And you think, okay, my fault, I can deal with that, right? But you know, when that happens with a soda bottle, at least at my house, there is soda in places you never knew it could even fly that far. That's good science, right? Yeah, it gets everywhere. And so you're cleaning it up for weeks and months, and years later, you find a little bit of sticky. Yeah. Right? I'm not the only one, I can tell, right? So that's what happens to us when we let our anxiety, when our worry, when our issues build up inside of us. They come out and cause the spray to land near and far, and for the effect to be greater than we can first see. And yet I, like you, arrive here on Sunday mornings to this place of worship, and I do so with an energy and excitement around digging into the Word of God, deciphering meaning from the Scripture, finding ways that it can adapt to my life, and ways that I can see hope in knowing and loving God, in obeying God. Throughout the week and in preparing for being with you, I sift through commentaries and other people's stories, and I look for messages of hope within the Scripture that we have been left. Ideas that are based in biblical thought and the teachings of Jesus. And then I pray that despite all of my work and all of my words, that God will send the Holy Spirit to this place so that you may hear or feel the love of God in this space, so that something today brings meaning for you. Can that be done? Can we open ourselves up to that intention this year? Amongst our worry or our challenge, could we let ourselves focus not on the pit in which we sometimes feel like we're standing in, but instead on being someone who can recognize that God is with us? Can we be enlightened by the star, even in times like these? I will say yes. In fact, that's what I'm hearing God say to us in these verses that she read from Matthew, that we are to rely on God in those times, in these times, and in all times, that we need to look around even at the blades of grass that are frozen in the yard, and the trees and the prairies, and we need to see in them the Creator who created them, and then remember that that Creator didn't leave them, did not abandon them. Even when we've been poor caretakers of this earth, God still continues to care for each of the created. The three kings might not have been friends. They might not have even came from the same place. But they all knew what they were looking for. And so on their individual journeys to meet the king, they gathered up. And they walked together on a similar path. and they formed community. And together they sought the child. And together they paid homage and offered their gifts. They were together because their hearts and heads followed the same light, that light that shone for the light of the world. Could we do that? I wonder if we could make an intention of traveling together this year to seek the light of the world, an intention to journey together and make commitments to offer grace to ourselves and to others as we go, to put our worry and our treasure at the foot of Jesus this year, and then, if necessary, to leave on new routes so that we can keep evil at bay and spread the good news. I pray with God's help that we can do that and that it may be so. Amen.